Welcome back to X-Files Diaries. Here's our part two of our top 25 episodes countdown list. Thanks for listening.
All right, number 11.
So my number 11, I decided to treat this as a separate episode from the two-parter we discussed earlier because it is separated by an extra episode. So I think of it as one episode and it's one breath from season 2, episode 8. This is another Morgan and Wong episode, and as always, they knock it out of the park. It's just a really beautifully done episode, beautifully written, beautifully shot. The whole damn thing is set in a hospital, so you know I'm going to love that part of it. And we get lots of Mama Scully, which I always love. We get Melissa in there, which I love. And we get to see Mulder kind of do some nice character development because he's all about the revenge and, you know, trying to get justice for Scully for a lot of the episode. But then by the end, he kind of realizes his most important job is just to be there for her instead of trying to go out there and seek some kind of justice or vengeance on her behalf. And that's an important moment for baby Mulder.
Yeah, you know, this is a really great one. I'd almost made my list. And it's a fantastic episode. You're right. I think that the way Mulder is, I mean, Scully doesn't have a lot to do in this episode, but the way Mulder is definitely standout here. His sort of grief and how he's dealing with it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't have a whole lot to add because I think you said it all, but this is a really fantastic one. I love it.
Yeah, that one has always had a special place in my heart. So, love that one.
Oh, it's a sweet one. And yeah, Mama Scully, yeah. Anytime we see Mama Scully, it's awesome.
Oh, she's so great. From the get-go, she's great.
Yeah.
From season 2 to season 11, she's in season one.
She's in season one. She's in Beyond the Sea.
Oh, yeah. Right. Beyond the Sea. Yeah. Of course.
Yep. She shows up way back in the day.
She nails that character from the get-go.
Totally. Love her. Sheila Larkin. Yep. You should say her name.
Yeah, she's awesome.
My 11, season 5, episode 19, Folie à Deux. We already talked about it.
I actually put
this on here because this is, to me, a perfect monster of the week. This is actually one I would tell people to watch if they've never seen the show before. Because I think even though their beliefs are a little bit still in that sort of swapped place, kind of like Mulder's still being a little bit kind of down on the X-Files, is a little bit, not really himself in this episode. You still understand the dynamic. You get what's going on. And it's got a creepy monster like we talked about. Mulder winding up in the loony bin is just inevitable, you know. And then, you know, of course, which I don't think we even mentioned last time, was just probably one of the greatest quotes in all time when he says, "You have to believe me, Scully. You're the only one on this whole planet. You're my 1 in 5 billion. I mean, how romantic is that?
Oh, that's
literally
awesome.
That's not even like you're my 1 in 1 million. You're my 1 in 5 billion. Like, talk about upping the ante.
Seriously, doesn't get much better.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I just love Folie à Deux. It's just so great. Yeah, the stuff between Mulder and Scully is really great in that episode in terms of Scully is really asked to go out on a limb.
Yeah.
And she's a little reluctant at first, but in the end, she takes that leap of faith. And so much of the X-Files is about leaps of faith.
Yeah.
And it's an ongoing theme in particular about like how far will Scully go to follow Mulder and how much will she do for him? And that episode does a really interesting job of addressing that. So yeah. I love it.
Love it too.
That's a great one.
We are down to our top 10. Can you believe it?
Holy crow, top 10. This is when the rubber meets the road.
Can I just say I love when you say holy crow? It's pretty amazing.
Dude, I don't even realize I say these odd things.
No, I love it. It's awesome. I only hear you say it. So whenever it's just amazing.
I've heard people say, "Oh, that was a funny thing in that podcast." And I'd be like, "Haha, that does sound funny." And then I didn't realize it was actually me that said it. So
yeah, it's great.
I say odd things. I'm from the Maritimes in Canada. I'm from Nova Scotia. We say strange things in Nova Scotia, I think.
It's great. I love it. All right. What's your number 10, Jen?
My number 10 is Milagro, which we have discussed in great detail. It's a great episode. It's another one from season 6, a later episode 18. another Chris Carter written episode. And it's just real. It's a different one, but different in a good way for me. Scully-centric, which I always love, and well, really well done. Great music, direction. That is, I think, a Kim Manners episode. It is a Kim Manners episode. Beautifully done, beautifully shot, beautifully acted. Really interesting. A quite sort of different and scary X-File. And I found it really interesting, the stuff it said about characters and their connection to their authors and authors who lose control of their characters. And I find that a really interesting commentary, perhaps, on how Chris Carter felt about his creations. So I love that.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know if this episode that we did on Milagro, we're going to play before or after this one, but we have talked about this sort of ad nauseum. This one is also on my list. So rather than waste time talking about it now, I'll just wait and I'll talk a little bit more about it later. Does that sound good?
Okay. Good.
But agreed. It's great. It's on my list. I love it. My number 10, season 7, episode 21, Je sois.
Hi.
Vince Gilligan, written and directed. I think this is one of the funniest episodes that we have. And I just love Mulder and Scully here. Like these late season 7 episodes when you know that their relationship has changed, but we're not shown it. But I love the subtle differences in how they behave around each other, which is very cute in this episode. I think that the Paula Sorge is who plays Jen. I think she's great. This is another one of those scenarios where it's just these great secondary characters that you enjoy watching almost as much as Mulder and Scully. I think like Will Sasso is hilarious playing Leslie Stokes. And all of that stuff. Like I like watching their scenes just as much as I like watching the Mulder and Scully scenes because it's so funny. I love how, you know, cynical Jen is and just kind of how eye roll. She's like Scully times 10 with the eye rolling, which is amazing. It's one of those things that makes you think. I love Scully dusting the invisible guy. That's like the best part.
Sometimes I forget about that part, but yeah. Oh, it's so great. Yeah, that's a great episode for sure. It came close to making my top 25 too. I think Vince Gilligan does such an awesome job of writing secondary characters. They're always really interesting. And yeah, I like you say, as interesting as Mulder and Scully. And yeah, that's a great episode. And it's really interesting and fun and thought-provoking. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Thumbs up on that selection. I'm really glad you mentioned it.
Thank you very much. And what is your number 9?
Number 9 is an episode that even a couple of months ago, I never in a million years would have thought I would put any episode from this season in my top 25, but it's from season 8, and it's episode 14, This Is Not Happening.
Gosh, and even in your top 10.
It's number 9. I love this episode because could it be the angstiest episode of all? I think you could say that it is. There's a good case to be made. It's just so great. I mean, Scully is just really trying to hold it together. There's just a lot happening. The whole sort of subplot with young Richie looking for his friend Gary is really quite heartrending as well. Richie is just, he's very committed to finding his friend. And really, he's kind of like, He gets a lot of the credit for drawing the attention of Scully and her merry band to what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And it's just an amazing emotional episode.
I agree. I don't believe I have anything from season 8 on my list, but I just have recently come to appreciate season 8 a little bit more because it's, as was pointed out to me on Twitter recently, like, when it first came out, not such a fan, but now it's just all about like Mulder and Scully, like, missing each other. I'm here for that, you know? And I think this episode too, in particular, I just watched it recently. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's great. It's a really great episode and I forget about it. I don't know why. I kind of write it off because I feel like Dead Alive, which is right after this, is where all the action happens. But no, like this has some great stuff with Doggett. It has some great stuff with Skinner. It's really good. Really good choice.
Oh, yeah. And that's, there's that, I just have to say, that scene with Scully and Skinner looking up at the stars together, talking about Mulder.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That sound is my heartbreaking in a really happy way.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Don't even, I can't, like, think about it. It's too angsty. Like, it's, I know yes. now why this deserves a spot in your top 10, because it's super.
You know it.
Super angsty.
I can't get enough of it.
I could do without the no at the end. I feel like that's a bit much.
It is a little over the top, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to the rest of the episode where I feel like the emotions are exactly where they should be.
Yeah.
That very final scene is a little, doesn't quite work perfectly for me.
Well, here's the thing.
So I'm with you on that.
If you take out the no and just have her yell, this is not happening, I'm fine with it. Yeah. Because I feel like when she finds Mulder, yeah. that scene where she actually finds him and sees that it's him is like enough. Like, I'm like, when I hit that, I'm just like, oh, I'm done. I'm done with this, you know? And so anything after that, you can't top that. So it's like for them to try and tack on the no at the end is almost like too much. It's like, I don't need that. I was already there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's a great one. Good choice. I like it.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I'm going to watch that one tonight right now. I can tell you, just all of a sudden feel the need for that angst to wash over me again.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Nice. Number nine.
My number nine, Triangle. Higher up than yours and not as high as it used to be on my list. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the only, in, you know, written and directed by Chris Carter. I love how it's shot. I love the experimentalness of it. My biggest pet peeve, and I got to tell you, it keeps me from rewatching it, is that it's just so dark. I understand, seriously, and I understand that this is the X-Files and this is how it's shot and how we're supposed to, but when you're doing scenes with these long tracking shots where there's no cuts and you're just kind of moving down rooms for like long periods of time, that stuff kind of matters. Like, it matters with the pacing. And so it kind of bothers me upon rewatch. I'm talking way too much about it. There's a lot of great stuff about this episode. I love at the end how he says, I love you, but she just dismisses it because of course he's drugged up, but he completely meant it and you can tell. And I think it's so adorable. You know, again, I'm talking more about the MSR stuff, but I love it so how clearly badly he wants to kiss her. Like, he was just like, we were so close 3 episodes ago. We were so close. Yeah. And it's not really you, so I can make it happen. You know what I mean? And so I think that's such a great time to put that there. I love it.
Nice. Love it. Love. Really great points. It is a very dark episode. I mean, the odd time when I try to post a screenshot from Triangle on Twitter, I've got to lighten it up so much to be remotely visible.
Yeah.
I don't. Is it to do with the fact that those long tracking shots were easier to pull off if they weren't too well lit? Or is it a question that they couldn't? The lighting on the ship was hard to pull off because of the shooting on location, because the FBI is pretty well lit in that episode.
The FBI thing turned out fine, so I don't think it's the first thing. I mean, the only thing I can think of is an artistic choice just for some sort of contrast between the two locations, which I get, but I feel like it was just too dark. Too dark. Make it a little bit lighter. Like, I need to see what is happening. Like,
they could have done something else to make it look different.
Yeah.
Like, shot it with a sort of some slightly different, I don't know what the correct terminology is, but stick a filter on there of some kind and make the colors a little different.
Yeah.
That would have done the trick, because it is very dark. Like, you can hardly see what's happening, and you want to see what's happening because it's a good episode.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I still do love it. It's a great one.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Love it too.
All right. You're number eight.
Number eight. This is one of a two-parter, but I like the second part so much better than the first that I'm really only including that. And that's Redux 2 from season 5, episode 2, the season premiere in conjunction with Redux 1. It's got a lot of great angsty hospital scenes. So you know that this is all part of the Gen formula of what makes a good episode. Angst, hospitals. Maggie Scully's there quite a lot. Scully is like so brave, and if I can do this for you, let me.
Oh,
and
God.
It's so great. Yeah. And so I love all the interaction. It's obviously, Mulder and Scully are not together as much as I would like in this episode, but when they are together, it's fantastic. And the final scene of the episode when Mulder reveals who the bad guy is at the FBI. It's done so well. And the music in particular is great.
Yeah.
And the music throughout that episode is amazing. There's a really beautiful theme that Mark Snow wrote for all the scenes with Scully in them in that episode that everyone should listen to and pay attention to because it's so great.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I knew that one would be on your list. Like, there was no way it wouldn't. It's like the angst has been ratcheted up to 11.
Totally.
And yeah, I think you're right. That's got some great Mulder. Every scene that they're in together is great. And I can give Mulder a pass for being away because everything he's doing away from her is trying to save her life, which is it's great. And I do love that about Scully, that like she's dying and the only thing she wants to do is help him.
Yes.
Like, I just love that. I love that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Very
love
good. It. Very good.
Another Chris Carter written episode too. So again, kudos to Chris and Kim Manners, director. Love you, Kim.
Oh.
So,
Kim. All right.
Yeah. Awesome.
Very good choice. I like it.
What's your number eight?
My number eight's Dreamland, season six.
Yay!
Yeah, I love it. And this is probably right around where Dreamland always falls on my list, right around here. Michael McKean is hands down my favorite guest appearance on this show of all time.
Wow, okay.
I love him in this episode. I love how chill he is about switching lives. Like, right off the bat, he's down with it. Like, even Mulder is like weirded out a little and he's trying to, but he falls right into it. He's like, I could live with this hot redhead driving me around and flashing my badge with my gun. I can live with this. I love it. And it's funny because you start off wanting to kind of write off his family, but there's like Nora Dunn. I love it. She's kind of an unsung hero in this episode. I think she's so funny, but like she kind of breaks your heart a little bit at the end and you're kind of like, wait a minute, like this is really messing with people's lives. I have in all caps here, Nora Dunn deserved better. I don't know her real name in that episode, but she definitely deserved better than Morris.
And
I think my favorite thing about this episode was every single one of Scully's facial expressions at Morris whenever she was like, what the her what the fuck faces are amazing.
They're pretty great.
Amazing. Yeah. Best thing about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Obviously. I like part two a lot better than part one because I just get so like secondhand embarrassment for Scully throughout part one about the fact that Mulder, quote unquote, is acting so weird and she can't figure it out. And it's all just kind of like a little cringeworthy for me.
That's funny.
I'm much happier when Scully knows what's up.
Yeah.
And which she figures out right at the end of part one.
I kind of don't differentiate these as two episodes. To me, it's just one long episode. So if I'm cheating, fine, but I'm not going to pick between them because to me, it's one episode. So
It is a very consistent episode throughout. A lot of these two-parters, the two parts are very different. Like Redux, which we just talked about, Redux 1 is totally different. It's just Mulder off in another government facility doing whatever, blah-de-de-blah.
Yeah.
Not interesting to me. Redux 2 is a totally different episode.
Agreed.
But Dreamland is like a pretty consistent story from start to finish.
Well, it's a self-contained story, too. So I don't look at it as two parts. I look at it as one long episode.
Yeah.
All right.
But great.
You're number seven.
Number seven. Going back to season two, episode Lucky 13, Irresistible.
Mm.
Plenty of angst, of course, and a really strong story. I mean, Donnie Faster, for me, is an amazing villain. As Jillian referred to him recently, I think it was at the con in Chicago, she calls him Donnie fucking Faster.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to start calling him from now on, because he's creepy as hell.
Yeah.
It's a strong, strong story. I think it's really interesting, this idea of, you know, like the human monster concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Mulder in this episode better than I do in quite a few of the baby Mulder episodes, because he's really supportive of Scully. And, you know, there's that moment where she says, you know, because she's gone back to DC, but she says to him, you could use my help. And he says, always.
Yeah.
And I just love that. Mm. And of course, Scully needs some rescuing at the end, which I am fine with. She's tough about it. She's still tough. And awesome hug at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful scene. She breaks down as soon as she looks at him. Love it. I'm
love
in
it.
Angst heaven. Angst it's, heaven.
This is the first one that you've said that didn't make my list that I now think should have.
Oh, I've convinced you.
I don't know which one I would swap it out for necessarily, but this is an amazing, amazing episode. I like, personally, I love the scene of with her and the therapist. That's my favorite scene.
Yes.
In this, I love it. This is definitely one of those. I knew this would happen. We'd go down and I'd be like, I forgot about that.
I know, right?
Yeah. Great choice.
Written by Chris Carter, of all people. I mean, really, that is some fine MSR in that episode.
Yeah. No, it's a really good one. And great MSR, but also just a really good Scully episode.
Great Scully episode.
Yeah. No, awesome. Great choice.
Yeah, nice.
Taking a little bit of a U-turn here. My number seven is season 6, episode 8, The Rain King. This is not on your list, I'm certain, because it's far too happy. but this Jeffrey Bell wrote it. I think it might be his only episode. Kim Manners directed it, which he knows what to do. Super shippy. Yeah. My favorite thing about this one is, you know, I think a lot of people maybe give it the short shrift. Is that the right word? Because it's kind of a funny, happy episode. Mm. And there is an X-File. It's a cool X-File, but I like the way that it shows that the X-Files is capable of doing something different. Because I can't really think of any other episode that's quite like this one in terms of tone. It's funny, and Victoria Jackson is really funny. This is another one of those where I think the secondary characters are as much fun to watch as Mulder and Scully. I love Scully's speech at the end, and you know, all these little hints during season 6 that their relationship is kind of slowly starting to evolve. Her speech about, you know, your friend seeming like not a friend. I can't do it. I'm on a time.
We all know.
Also, as everybody knows from our last thing, this has my favorite MSR moment of all time, which is them in the high school reunion swaying back and forth next to each other, which together. Is my favorite of all time. I just love it.
I look at that scene in a whole new way now. I never even really noticed it before, but
completely
now
in sync and completely unaware of it.
That's kind of a little theme that's emerging today is how often Mulder and Scully are in sync and how magical it is when that happens.
Yep.
I actually really like The Rain King too. You're right. It's not on my list. But I really like that episode. It is a pleasant, enjoyable episode. It's not too happy for my liking. So it's just happy enough, I guess. And I mean, like, I just love the scene when they're arriving on the plane and there's like, the majorette is like putting on a little performance for them and everything. I mean, it's a sweet episode. It's very sweet. And it's just a very pleasant episode. And you can't say that about many X-Files episodes.
It's one that I turn on often when I'm just in the mood to watch something a little light. It's very enjoyable.
It doesn't demand too much of us when we watch it. It's just pleasant and enjoyable. And remind me again of the name of the writer of that episode.
Is it
Jeffrey Bell?
Jeffrey Bell, yeah.
I have a feeling, did he write the Goldberg Variations as well?
I can check right now, but you could be right. I didn't actually. Yes, he did. Yes.
He did. All right, cool. Because those are two really strong episodes for me. But I don't know if he wrote much else.
He also did Signs and Wonders.
Okay.
I'm looking it up since we're talking about it. It looks like he did Alpha, which is another pretty good one.
Yeah, I
do. It's decent. It has some good stuff.
It's got some good stuff.
That's all I'm seeing. But he did a few. So there he is.
I really like the episodes he wrote for the most part. And I could have seen him write more, I think. He had an interesting eye that I think was quite effective. So
yeah, agreed.
Love it. Love The Rain King. It's a great episode. So wonderful.
Your number 6.
So getting down to it right now.
We really are.
My number 6 is a really great mythology episode from season 3 and part of a 2 or 3 parter, depending on how you look at it. But it's really this episode that I like best, Paperclip. And it's just a very strongly written episode. It's a strong, tight episode as far as mythology goes. And most importantly, unlike a lot of mythology episodes, Mulder and Scully are together for the whole episode, which is rare and wonderful. And I love the way they're working together. There's a lot of emotion with Melissa in the hospital. and how Scully feels about that. And there's a great scene at the end in a hospital, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it when they see all those files, and there's that moment when Mulder says to Scully, "What year were you born?" And that's kind of, to me, like this really important turning point in maybe the whole series, when all of a sudden it starts to be about Scully again.
Yeah.
Because we haven't talked that much about her abduction up until that point. And I know I'm like doubling my time right now. But that all of a sudden we start talking about her abduction again. And it was an interesting turn of events in that episode, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You have a lot of mythology on your list.
I have a surprising amount. I was surprised how much I wound up with.
Interesting. I want to do some statistics here on our list.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Not on the podcast. I'll do it later. I promise. I won't bore you.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we could just like sit here together and like do a spreadsheet for like another hour afterwards, but I'm not sure that the listeners would find it that fascinating.
No, they would definitely.
I would actually, but not everyone would.
That's a cool, interesting choice. Yeah,
paper.
That's files, lots and lots of files, right? When they're in the big
file, yeah. Lots and lots of files.
Yeah, that's great. I love the idea too that like she wants to take the deal. He doesn't want to take the deal, but she's like, "Look, I got to see my sister," and Mulder does it for her essentially. You know what I mean? Like he gets it. He gets it. And anytime they kind of do some sort of juxtaposition between Mulder and Scully and like the difference in their family life, I always find that interesting. Like Scully actually, you know, has a family that she cares about, that she wants, you know, and not that Mulder doesn't care about his parents, but obviously there's a lot of drama there. So I don't know. I like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sad one to pick, but
it's a sad one.
That's what you like. That's your bag.
It's that weird. Yeah. Sad episode on Jet's top 10. It's so weird.
Okay. My number six.
Yeah.
Is season 11. Episode 2, this, which we've already discussed.
Nice.
If I could live in this episode, I would. seriously, everything about this, I loved so much. Glenn Morgan is my new boyfriend. This is what I wanted to see in season 10. It was just them just being cute and flirty and in sync and together. That was the main thing. I don't really care what you're doing, even though everything they did in this episode was cute and awesome. As long as you're together and you're doing your stuff together, that's really all I want to see. That's why I watch this show. Yeah. I liked that they're working on a case, but it has this added sort of intensity of that they're the focus of it. You know, they're running for their lives. It's literally they're running against the clock. We already talked about the best cold open ever. Oh my God, they're talking about handcuff sex. I can't even believe what's happening. Scully being so sassy. All of his comments, they're so flirty. When she says, our home, and everybody flipped the fuck out online because she said, our home. I don't know. I will remember that forever. And the dig at the Patriots, I love too. Amazing. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. One more thing. When Mulder turns to her and does the gagging.
Yeah.
That was when I was just completely in love. I was just like, how could this get any better? And amazing. Thank you, Glenn Morgan.
Every scene I feel like in that episode, I just love for a different reason.
Yeah.
And I remember not long ago, I rewatched it, and a lot of times when I rewatch an episode, I like to post a screen cap on Twitter, and I couldn't pick one from this. So I actually, for the first time in my life, figured out how to make a collage to post on Twitter. And it had like about like 9 different scenes in it, because that's what I had to do with this to be able to convey what I liked about it. Cause there were so many great scenes.
You said taint, IKEA.
I love that line.
Adorbs. Fingers wrapped around a Glock. Like, I don't know. Everything about it is just so, it's overt too. Like, we don't get that from them. That was what I loved about it. It was like these two people have this history that we don't, we have no idea what they were doing in those 10 years, but now we do. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
It's so great. Yeah. God, I should have put that one up higher, but anyway, at least it was on my list.
Honestly, looking at my list, I might put that above my number 5, even just because I'm talking about it right now, but we'll find out.
Yeah, you've convinced me, I have to say.
It needs to be higher.
I put it up higher. So it's a great episode. It's like a near perfect episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there's nothing I don't like about it. So
yeah.
All right, great. So
you're number 5. Yep.
Going back to season 1, episode 16, EBE.
Nice.
Which not a lot of people, I don't think, have in their top 10 or even their top 25. But another Morgan and Wong episode, another mythology episode. I love this one. This is just one of those episodes I know very, very well because I watched it so many times back in the day when it first aired. Because we learned so much, and it's a nice self-contained mythology episode that's got a good, strong story, really interesting. There's some quite good MSR in there because there's a lot about Mulder and Scully having to trust each other because they can't trust anyone else.
Yeah.
And it's got great action. I really like the way the plot moves. We get some great Deep Throat scenes. I love Deep Throat. Love you, Deep Throat. And it's got a special place in my heart forever. And it's a really great story.
I like this one too. I don't remember. Gosh, I don't remember the story as well. I do remember the ending with Mulder and the alien, and he can't see it. And I do also remember this one as being the first Lone Gunman appearance. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you are right about that.
Yeah, it was a good, really good one. I wouldn't make my list, but it's a really good episode.
Yeah, love EB.
Yeah,
it's very special to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a cool and unique pick. I like it.
All right. Number five for you.
My number five is Milagro, which we, again, already talked about. Nice. And looking at this list, I do feel like I might rank this above Milagro. So I might switch Milagro and this. But I don't want to sell it short. I think it's fantastic. It's one of those ones that has definitely crawled up my list as the, mm-hmm. as the years go by. It might be the most intense MSR ever written, and it's freaking mm-hmm. Chris Carter. And again, we talked about this a lot, about the idea of writers letting go of characters and releasing them out into the world without having any sort of control, and how I kind of feel like that's Chris saying that's what he did with Mulder and Scully, because I feel like at this point is when he kind of decided to let them go. I do love the Scully work. It might be one of Chris Carter's best Scully episodes, if not his only really good Scully episode. And I like that the voiceovers actually work. They work for this episode. You know, Chris Carter's voiceovers usually kind of work against the episode, but in this one, it works for it. I think it's great. And I love when he says Agent Scully is already in love. Everyone goes crazy when he says that. It's a great line, and it's a great moment to have that line. So.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I 100% agree. And I don't know if I mentioned the final scene when I was talking about it with Mulder discovering Scully nearly dead or possibly dead. And then that just intense embrace afterwards.
Yeah. It's a really good one.
The angst is so great. So I love that scene. Love that episode. So yes. Yay.
Yeah. All right. What's your number four?
Four.
All right. We're getting up. There.
This is really getting down to brass tacks right now.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about when you and I were talking about doing this episode about whether to include movies or not. And we decided that we would if we wanted to. And so Fight the Future is my number four.
Oh, see, and I thought we decided not to, so I didn't put it.
Oh, bloody hell. I thought we did.
Whatever. It's all good.
I'm putting it in my number four.
Go ahead. It would have made mine if I put it in there, but go ahead.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's got a little of everything. It's got obviously a lot going on because it's a movie. If I were to just rank it really as an episode, it might've been my number one, but as a movie, I have to kind of knock it down a couple of notches just cause it's hard to compare.
Yeah.
But it's the scene in Mulder's hallway where he says all those amazing things to Scully. I owe you everything and you owe me nothing. All those great quotes, that's enough for it to make my top list for sure. So that's where it is for me.
That's cool. I'm glad that you said it, though. I want to talk about it. I would have put it on my list. I feel like, it's kind of not fair because it is a movie. But
Hard to compare.
Yeah. What I like about it is that it is, I think it's pretty self-contained. Like, I don't think anyone watching it would be terribly confused. You can kind of glean what's going on, and it probably would get you just interested enough to maybe keep watching the show. But all the important Scully Mulder dynamic stuff is there, and you're right, everything we need to know about them is happening in that hallway, so it's great.
God, yes, that's so great. I mean, that was my number one MSR moment, so
it is.
I'm pretty hot about that whole, I mean, it's pretty angsty too, so it's MSR and angst all at the same time, so it's like my head's exploding,
and it's sweet, and it's very, it's quite a declaration. Like, there's a lot going on in that scene. It's a really great scene.
lot going on. I just can't get enough of that scene. Cannot get enough of it.
Yeah.
What's your number four?
It's amazing. My number four, season 3, episode 14, Pusher.
Yes.
This actually went way up high because it's one of those that I forget, and I don't know why I forget about it, but I do kind of sometimes forget about it, and I don't know why. It's amazing. It's perfect. From start to finish, it's such a cool X-File. The buildup is cool because you're kind of trying to figure out what it is. Mulder's theories are just kind of not crazy enough for Scully to buy it, and I love the fact that there's an actual like scientific explanation for the X-File, and so she gets to kind of like hang her hat on something like, hey, look, this is why this is happening. Like, it doesn't actually explain it, but this is why this is happening. So I kind of like that. And it's really scary because it's just a normal guy. And I love the MSR. And I feel like this episode, season 3, episode 14, is where the MSR actually exploded. Where it was Kaboom. Like, yeah, where it was like, we're doing this, guys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I love it. It has so many great little moments, the little handhold at the end and her falling asleep on his shoulder. And it's so cute and subtle and adorable. And I love it. And that final scene you talked about a lot last time, but just great. Mm-hmm. It's very intense.
Love it.
Very intense.
Yeah. I think we can have a slightly more extended conversation about it because I'll spoiler alert. This is my number three, actually. So I would be talking about this next.
Yeah, go ahead.
Vince Gilligan again, my man. Great. It's just like another one of those like near perfect episodes, really. That the plot is so well done. Like a really interesting plot. Really, really interesting. Quite scary. Like the power that this man has seems almost limitless, and it's very frightening. And of course, you know, we get a number of great MSR scenes, you know, from, you know, they're on that stakeout together. It's very sweet. And of course, you know, the standoff scene with the guns is very intense. There's just a lot of emotion going on in that episode, and it's just great. The storyline's great. The MSR is great. It's one of those episodes, again, that I think appeals to a very broad range of fans.
Yeah.
Because it has so many great elements. The shippers love it. The people that, you know, just enjoy the standalone episodes love it. So it's just a strong, strong episode. So a lot of people have it, I think, as their number one, and I would totally agree.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt since we're kind of just going off on this one since you
no,
have
it's okay.
But this one is another one I think I would show somebody who'd never seen the show before that I would tell them to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a
great one.
It's a nice starter episode. Really good.
You know, one thing I noticed about my top 25 is that I have very few traditional monsters. I have a lot of kind of like weird kind of phenomenon.
Yeah.
And Robert Modell is another one of those, like, he's not really a monster, but he's a villain.
Right.
And very memorable as a character.
Very, very. That guy, I mean, and he's just kind of creepy looking because of his normalness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It opens with him doing his grocery shopping. So that kind of like says it all right there.
And he's like singing. I don't know. Like it's such a great episode. I love it. It's great.
It's one of those ones that I've probably watched it almost the most of any episode. There's not that many episodes I've watched more than Pusher.
Agreed.
And I can still never get enough of it. So yeah. Hooray for Pusher. So that's my number three. So what's your number three?
That's easy enough, right?
Yeah.
All right. We got our timer back on, ready to go.
The timer's going.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Jeez, that's not fair.
All right, I'm pausing it now.
Okay.
I'm pausing it for a few seconds.
I gotta wait until I say the name. Okay.
I'm sorry.
My number three is season 4, episode 13, Never Again.
Oh my gosh.
I have a feeling that my top three will never change. I'm gonna say this right now. So I mean, anyone who's listening to this might know already what my top three is gonna be. This is my very favorite Scully episode. Glenn Morgan, James Wong, of course, and Rob Bowman actually directed this, which I think is he did a great job. Even though they originally had tried to get Quentin Tarantino, which would have been really cool. I think it's perfect as it is. So I mean, I can't even fault that. I think in terms of Scully episodes, I love all things, but as I've stated before, it doesn't really have an X-File. So in terms of like Scully centric episodes, this is definitely my favorite. I love the tattoo thing. I love that, like, her getting Ed Durst was hot, and I love her getting the tattoo. That was hot. This is a hot episode. Jodie Foster doing the voice of the tattoo is awesome. All the music they chose for this episode, and even the score by Mark Snow, is great. And you know what? It's funny. This is such a great non-shippy episode that it makes it kind of good. Like, the MSR is through the roof. I think, like, the way that they kind of advanced their relationship in this episode, it was the first time that they really did that. And this was season four. So I was very impressed by that, and I love that about this episode.
Very interesting. Never Again is not one of my favorites. I rarely watch it, to be honest. I have a hard time watching Scully with another guy, I'll be honest. that's the only real reason I don't watch it very often. I think it is a good episode.
You should try it again. I promise you'll like it.
I'm going to have to give it another go. And I just need to kind of warm up to it a little bit more. I do really like the final scene in that with Mulder and Scully in the office. And they kind of come to like an impasse, essentially.
Yeah.
Which rarely happens. It ends on this very sort of uncertain note. We often get uncertain notes in the X-Files, but it's usually about, like, is the monster really gone or not? In this case, it's more like, what's happening with Mulder and Scully's relationship? And are they going to be okay? Because it ends on this very sort of uncertain kind of, you know, tension between them.
Yeah.
And it's the only episode that I can think of that ends with no music.
Yeah, it's just silent. It's
completely silent at the end. And I'm not sure that there's another episode that has that.
You're right.
And it makes it very striking.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it feel...
This episode looks beautiful. It looks fantastic.
Yeah. It does. It's a really well done episode. So I need to get over my petty jealousies and give it another go, because I know a lot of people love it.
Can I break my rule for 1 minute? Because I really want to ask you about this, because it's funny to me, because you are really into these episodes where there's all this angst and you are totally cool with Mulder and Scully being dead. But like, you can't see Scully with another dude. Like, that's just so funny to me.
I don't know how to explain myself.
Well, I agree with, I'll let you finish. But to me, it's like she's doing this to piss him off. So in a way, it is kind of like he's still in her mind. Obviously, he's not going to leave her mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess maybe I just never really thought about it that way before. Because I think that I was just always, from the beginning, I just kind of took one look at it and said, nope, don't like this at all. And never thought about it in any other way. So if I think about it a little bit more from that perspective,
you know what's funny? And again, we're breaking our rules just because we're talking about
it. No, that's okay. We're in our top three. So we got to talk a little more about our top three.
Exactly. I think we can break the rules on the top three here. It's funny because with Scully, I'm fine with it. I hate that episode where Mulder makes out with the vampire. Maybe it's because of all the stuff I know about, like, why they did that and the fact that Scully was missing. And like, plus that episode just is terrible and I won't watch it because it's boring as hell. But like,
it's just a bad episode.
I don't like the idea that, like, Chris Carter is like, well, sure, Mulder can go off and have a fling. It's not like he can live like a monk, but that's not okay for Scully. I have a real problem with that. And I love the fact that it's four seasons in. You know what, Scully, get yours. I love it. I know it's up for debate whether, you know, they actually slept together. I'm in the camp of they did. But even if they didn't, like, good for Scully. Go out and get some. You know, I don't have a problem with that. Especially after what happened with Mulder and what Chris Carter said about it. It really pissed me off. So this was kind of like revenge sex. So I was fine with it.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. I mean, Mulder's a jerk in this episode. No question about it.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
He very sort of typical guy stuff. He just doesn't get it.
Right.
I think I kind of have issues with jealousy in general. So it just makes me really uncomfortable for some reason as an emotion.
Well, you know what? I am actually going to give you an assignment to watch this episode, and then we'll have to discuss it at a later date.
All right, that sounds like a good assignment. I'm up for that. It sounds like something that would be good for me.
Yeah, and you feel free to assign me one. How's that? We'll make it fair.
I like that idea. All right, I'm gonna think about it. I'm gonna think about something, a good one to assign to you. Maybe it'll be another one from my list.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah, that's a fun idea. We could do a whole other episode about that. I'm gonna give it another try.
Let's go to your number two, unless you have more to say about this.
I can't really explain myself, so I feel like one of these episodes, I'm just going to have to invite my psychiatrist to come, and he'll be like a special guest. We'll finally explain what the hell is wrong with Jen.
I just love it. I think it's just very funny. Like, we're both very, very protective of this relationship. And
yes.
I am as much as you, but I still don't mind the fact that Scully got out and got some. I don't mind it.
Yeah, that's very, you're very modern. I think that's very sensible. Maybe because I'm a little older. I don't know. Maybe that's it. I can't really explain it.
Maybe.
I don't know him. Am I a prude? Maybe I'm a prude. I'm not sure.
No, I mean, I get it, because I don't think I always liked this episode. I think when I was younger, I was not a fan of it. And now that I'm a bit older, I understand and I appreciate it a little bit more.
Well, I probably haven't watched it all the way through in about, I don't know, 15 years probably.
Oh,
so.
God. Yeah, you need to get on that, girl. Get on it.
Yeah. All right. Done.
All right.
I accept your challenge.
Thank you.
Now we're on to number two. And I'm so glad, because my number two hasn't been mentioned yet. It's from season 4, episode 14, Memento Mori.
I knew that would be on here for you.
I'm so predictable. I thought that
would be your number one, honestly. So I'm curious to see your number one.
That's the only surprise here, is that that's not my number one. Mm-hmm. And it often is. Between my number one, two, and three can change places at any given moment.
Right.
I love them all equally. And it kind of just depends on whichever one I've watched last tends to be the number one. But Memento Mori, I mean, it checks all the Jen boxes, hospital scenes all over the place, angst all over the place, references to Scully's abduction, which I always find kind of interesting to kind of follow up on that. There's an actual like follow up on an episode from the previous season when Scully met those women in Allentown who had the abduction experiences. The fact that they pick that whole thread up again is really interesting to me. And it's just a really well done, well driven episode. Lots of emotion, some good action too. It's got a very special place in my heart and always will. And I love the hug at the end. And I just have to give my favorite quote, the truth will save you, Scully. I think it'll save both of us.
Oh,
how freaking beautiful is that?
I mean,
it's right in my Twitter bio. That's how much I love that quote.
No, that's a great quote. How many different ways can they write I love you without saying I love you? This would be this would be a great thread.
Yeah, whenever the word truth comes up, you know it's a big friggin' deal.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great one. Not on my list, but it's a really good episode. It's so funny because a lot of these ones that you bring up as like part of a two-parter or part of a three-parter, they kind of escape my brain when I start coming up with lists, because I feel like, oh, it's not really, it's part of this, it's part of that arc. Mm-hmm. And so I don't look at it as like its own self-contained episode, but mm-hmm. even though it is it, in its own right, it very much is. Mm. And it's got a lot of great angst. I love that moment where her nose is bleeding and he's like,
she's like,
I'm fine. Like, I don't know.
Yes.
That really gets me. I don't know. That's what I remember actually most about that episode is that. Yeah.
Quit staring at me.
Yeah, quit staring at me. I love it.
She's so scared and trying to be so tough at the same time. And oh my gosh, breaks my heart.
Gillian Anderson at her Emmy winning best.
Yeah, for sure. That won her the Emmy, and well, it should have.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing. It's an amazing episode. So number two for me. What's your number two?
My number two, season 5, episode 12, Bad Blood. I love Bad Blood. I know I'm so boring because everybody loves Bad Blood, but this is probably my favorite Vince Gilligan episode. It's funny. It's a little bit over the top, but I feel like they still kind of keep it in the tone of the X-Files. I love this sort of unreliable narrator concept when they see each other kind of the way we see them, which is cool, kind of like a caricature within a caricature.
Yeah.
But it's so cute to see that that's how they see each other. And so I love that, the idea of that. And it's kind of, in a way, it's kind of like anti-shippy, except the fact that Mulder is just very obviously jealous of Luke Wilson. And I always think that the casting of Luke Wilson was brilliant because he looks exactly like David Duchovny in my mind. Like, they have the same look. So it's awesome that they cast him as someone Scully would be attracted to. Like, to me, that's very, very blatant. Yeah, and the best thing about that episode is Mulder on the magic fingers. Just got to say that. I love him. I love him laughing on that bed. It makes me laugh every time.
All right. Well, Bad Blood's not on my list. This is the first time, I think, of your top 25, it's actually an episode I don't even like.
Wow.
I'm sorry, everybody. I know everybody loves Bad Blood. Everyone loves it. Well, not everyone. There's a couple of folks on Twitter that I recently bonded with because turned out we didn't like Bad Blood and everybody else did. It just, I don't know why. It's a good episode. It's well written. That's Vince Gilligan again, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
It's well written. It's a great concept. It's well acted. It's well done. I just don't really like it for some reason. I don't find it super funny for some reason. I think the problem maybe is that the best explanation I can come up with is that, and this is by design, Mulder and Scully are out of character for the whole episode, which is exactly what they're supposed to be because they're acting differently than they normally do because it's all about perception.
Yeah.
But I just like, I don't have a lot of interest in watching Mulder and Scully not acting like Mulder and Scully. And that's the only way I can explain it.
That's actually a really good point. I was just going to say, are you sure you're not just being contrarian? But
Fair question.
That's a very, very valid point. It's weird. I don't have to bring this up. It's almost like reading fan fiction that doesn't feel in character.
Yes, it's exactly like that. I mean, it would be like reading like fanfic where I'd say, well, this is a clever fanfic, but it's not really the X-Files and it's not Mulder and Scully. That's kind of how I feel about Bad Blood. And I feel like I have to issue an apology because I know I'm making a lot of people really upset right now.
No, you're, I mean,
so
no.
Many people love that episode. It would be a lot of people's number one for sure.
I actually think you're right. I think it is probably a lot of people's number one. It's a great, I don't know. It's experimental in that way. And it's funny. You've actually made me think differently about it. Not, I don't like it any less, but you've made me think like, okay, I can get that. I get like you're watching something that doesn't quite feel... Yeah, like because they're not acting like themselves, even though you know that's you're not really watching them. You're just hearing a story.
Right.
But I just think, I don't know. I think that's just what's so clever about it, though. I like that.
Well, it is. It's very clever. And I get exactly why they do it that way. And it's really interesting. And it would make a terrific, you know, you could do some really interesting sort of fun kind of analysis about it and the way they structure the story. And, you know, you could talk a lot about narrative and like you say, sort of like the unreliable narrator concept. So there's a lot of interesting concepts to talk about with that episode, but it just doesn't get it just doesn't get me in any way. And I think it's just because, that's not my Mulder and Scully. So I approve of it in kind of an intellectual way, but I just don't especially like it.
That's all right.
So, yeah, sorry, Bad Blood fans.
No, I like that you have such a different view of it because it would be much more boring if it was like your number two also. So.
Yeah, it is not my number two.
Well, we already know that because we are down. We are down to the last one, baby. All right, you tell me.
Oh, my God. I'm just holding my head at the enormity of this right now.
I can't even guess. I can't get.
It's like on the Oscars where they're about to give the Best Picture award, and you can hardly believe it's even happening.
I know. We need a drum roll here. Well, I don't know. I would have guessed Memento Mori. So you tell me.
It is season 7, episode 22. Requiem.
Wow.
As discussed already.
You're right. That was on your list.
Yeah. So I kind of snuck it in there right at the very end at number one.
Wow.
Because it's kind of a perfect episode for me. I love the fact that they're back in, is it Bellflower, Oregon? I love that full circle feeling. I think it would have made actually a really good series finale in a lot of ways. Like you said before, all the characters are there. The lone gunmen are there. We got, you know, Krychek's there, Marita's there, everyone's there. It's a really strong story. I love the fact that we revisit the characters from the pilot again, and the MSR is fantastic, off the charts, fabulous. Love the scene where Scully swoons in the forest and Mulder is there to kind of catch her, and he's so concerned about her. Yeah. And I love that. I love every scene, like you said already, the scene when they're cuddling in bed and having that really deep conversation. And it's just awesome. And it's just a beautiful episode, just beautifully done, beautifully acted. It's one of those episodes that, like, David and Jillian are really giving it their all.
Well, they know it's maybe the last time, so.
Yeah, and we ended in the hospital. Oh, so God.
Sorry.
What could be better?
Yeah, that just kind of blew my mind. I didn't really think about that before. Like, all of the underpinnings of, God, seriously, rewatch that episode with the thought that Mulder knows he's dying. And it's
I've never thought about it that way before.
It's a completely different experience. Let me tell you, everyone out there, watch that episode again, especially that scene in bed where he's talking to her. It kills me. Like, it murders my heart. And you need to watch it with that. And especially now, I just blew my own mind thinking that this is David and Jillian's maybe like their last episode together. Yeah. They have no idea. Throw that in there too, and that's really depressing. It just depressed myself.
Wow, that's just you just ratcheted up the angst on an episode that's super angsty already.
I made you like it better.
Which is like awesome for me. Mm-hmm. So though I have a real problem with the whole Mulder's dying plot, but if I can use it for the tool of fabulous angst, then maybe I'll be okay with it. So I'm going to do that.
I've actually come to terms with it.
You're more at terms with it than I will ever be, I think.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see. Maybe we can get you there.
I think we should discuss that sometime.
That would be a great idea. That would be good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to talk about in season 8. That would be one of the many subjects.
Yeah, and he came back cured, so it's all good. It doesn't even matter, so.
Yeah, which is why it's so stupid, because it doesn't even matter. Don't even get me started.
But I don't want to go in too much into this, but I think it does matter. I think it does.
Well, it's supposed to matter, but I just don't feel like it ever really did.
I think it matters.
Thing that's like so huge, and then they just drop it.
But I think it matters only in retrospect, which is the failing of this. Like I said, when you look at Mulder's decisions in that episode, and you look at his motivations and how he's feeling about the X-Files and how he's feeling.
Yeah.
And it has so much more weight when you think about it like that. It really does.
Yeah.
And again,
okay.
It could completely be a retcon as far as I know. Who knows if that was even in Chris Carter's mind when he was writing it. He always claims that it was. Who knows? I know it certainly didn't feel like it when I'm watching which is the episode before. It doesn't feel like it there, but it feels like it in Requiem, let me tell you. So
yeah, that's a really good point. I think I tend to agree that I don't think it was deliberately done that way. But sometimes retcons work by mistake, and this might be one of the cases where it does.
Well, and I think even if it's not a mistake, and Chris Carter kept it in his head and just didn't tell anybody else, it's not like he hasn't done that shit before. So
that's true.
I would completely believe it if he said, "Oh, I knew he was dying. I just didn't tell anyone." I would believe
it. Possible. It is. It's in the realm of possibility. It's definitely a possibility, and it definitely does put that episode in a different light. So
yeah.
I'm gonna definitely think about it that way the next time I watch it, because you know I'm gonna watch it again pretty soon.
Do it. I just watched it recently. So.
Yeah, I just watched it like again for like the millionth time this week, and I didn't watch all 25 of my top 25 this week because I knew I wasn't gonna have time for that.
Yeah, I didn't.
But
either.
I tried to stick to the ones that I hadn't watched particularly recently, just to kind of refresh my memory. I've watched Requiem quite recently, but I just decided to watch it again for the hell of it, just because I love that episode.
That's cool. That's a cool pick. And I love that you picked that, because it's I always feel weird putting it on my list, because I'm like, no one's gonna even know what I'm talking about. So that's really cool.
It's a little obscure, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think I say that title, Requiem, and a lot of people don't even know which episode I'm talking about.
Right, like it sounds kind of like a Monster of the Week title, even if you're not super familiar.
Yeah, it's a very generic sounding title. You could mix it up with like 1,000 other X-Files titles. But it's a great episode, and it did take me a long time to figure out how great that was.
Yeah, definitely. It grew on me.
Yeah, it definitely grew on me. That's just, it really, really gets me. And another Kim Manners directed episode. Thank you, Kim Manners, again. And a Chris Carter written episode. So thank you, Chris Carter.
Yeah.
God. I love you, Chris, secretly.
Yeah,
I do. I guess. I mean, my top 25 tells me that I do love you.
I know.
All right. Okay, Annie, what's your number one?
All right. And you don't know what it is? You don't know?
I'm trying to think if I can guess.
Well, there's no way you would guess. The only way you would know is if you have heard me talk about it before. But it is, and I've said it before on this very podcast. That's the only reason I'm asking.
I know you did some top episodes before on the podcast.
It was a long time ago.
It was a different one. So
it wasn't. This has always been my favorite.
Okay, what is it?
Season 4, episode 2, Home. All-time favorite. I don't think this will ever change. Everything about this episode to me screams The X-Files. I think it's a perfect episode. I think it's perfect. It's not one I would necessarily show somebody who's never seen the show before, because I feel like it kind of it's unfairly really, really off the charts scary and gory and disturbing, but I love it. I think it's so creepy, it's so scary. It's Glenn Morgan, James Wong, so you know it's gonna be good. The MSR is even really good in this episode. I mean, it's not even the reason I like it, because I think it's a great balance. I don't think it's over the top. I think they have some really great little conversations. I think it kind of drives the plot and the characters forward when they talk about her being a mother and him talking about how I've never really saw you like that before. And then when you get that, Karen Konoval again doing great as Mrs. Peacock, who are some of the scariest monsters of the week that we've ever had, at the end saying, you know, if you were a mother, you'd understand, or something like that to that effect. I could tell you're not a mother. I don't know. It kind of, and especially watching it in retrospect, it really hits you in the feels. And then the sequence and we go a little long because this is our number one.
It's like on the Oscars, they just let the best picture winner talk
exactly
forever.
You're not going to talk me off. The whole sequence with the wonderful, wonderful, where they murder the sheriff and his wife is absolutely terrifying and gripping.
It's
one of those scenes that I will never forget for as long as I live. And it's awful, but it's so good, like so well done. It's hard to really describe, especially people who know me. This is probably a very surprising choice, but it's always been my favorite ever since I started watching the show. And I don't think I don't think anything's ever going to knock it out of that spot. It's just something about this one I love.
Wow. All right. Fantastic. I mean, it's not on my list. I'm not as big a fan of Home as a lot of people are. I don't know why exactly. I think maybe it's just a little too much for me. With the whole incest and the whole infanticide, and it might be just tips a little far over into kind of like a little too much for me. But it's a great episode for sure, and a lot of people, I mean, would name it as their favorite. I mean, when I was at Montreal Comic Con, someone in the audience asked Mitch Pileggi what his favorite episode is, and this was the first one he mentioned. He mentioned a couple, but Home was the first one he mentioned.
Interesting. I didn't know that was his favorite. That's cool.
And I think he said something like, because that was some fucked up shit.
And that's why I love it. I love that they got away with it.
It is some fucked up shit. And I look at it now, and I know that, you know, it's quite sort of infamous for not having been rerun after the original broadcast. I can't believe they got it on air in the first place.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Yeah,
there is some fucked up shit going on in this episode.
You know what else too is great about this one is like the whole idea. I love the idea, the social commentary of the fact that this could be going on anywhere, because it could.
Absolutely.
And you don't know what's going on behind anyone's closed doors.
I think so too. And that's part of why I'm not super comfortable with it, because I do know of cases that are similar to this in real life. And so that just kind of makes me a little bit uncomfortable, I think, because those are really dark cases.
Right.
And so it's hard for me just to see it as a story in a way. It's just kind of a little too creepy for my liking, not fun creepy, but kind of freak me out creepy.
Right, right.
But I recognize it's a great episode, beloved by many, really well done, scary as hell. You're right about that scene where they go after the sheriff and his wife. That's got to be one of the scariest, if not the scariest, scenes in X-Files history.
I think it's the scariest scene.
It's very terrifying.
And it's also like one of those, like you said, I can't believe that made it on air, because it's just so it's just so terrifying.
It's brutal.
Very brutal. I mean, and even Mulder's like, you know, like they really went caveman on it, because that's what it was. It was just complete.
Seriously. I mean, it's amazing to stuff. And this was back in the 90s. So yeah. it amazes me that this ever got on air. Because I feel like someone was asleep at the switch.
They might have been.
In what is it called? Standards and Practices for the network.
Yep.
It's certainly it's a real true, like it's a horror episode for sure. And they pushed the envelope, and hey, kudos. They got away with it, because I'm sure there was plenty of times they wanted to push the envelope further than they were allowed to.
Yeah.
But somehow they managed to get away with it on Home. And it's a really well done and really interesting episode. And absolutely, I applaud your number one. Your number one and my number one are super different from one another.
I love it.
Which is great. You know, if we saw everything exactly the same way, this would be a dull podcast, because would just basically be saying, yeah, you're right.
Exactly. No, I do like that. We have very differing tastes. I just did a quick count here.
Yeah.
I was very curious how our list signed up. You have you have 11 mythology episodes on your list.
All right. Holy crow. All right.
I have two.
Jeez.
Which is
interesting.
I mean, and I know I've told you, like, I am a fan of the Monster of the Weeks. Like, that's, you know, those are my favorites. I like the mythology as a whole, like a thoroughfare. I like it as kind of underlying building the characters, but like, it's hard for me to pick individual episodes that are mythology based. I don't know. Maybe that's just a me thing. I don't think that any of the ones you picked are weak episodes in any, it's just hard for me to pick something that's, I know part of part of a bigger story, you know?
Yeah. I understand exactly where you're coming from. And I'm as surprised as anyone to find 11 mythology episodes on my top 25, because I would never have guessed that I would include that many.
That's a lot. It's crazy.
They just, they have a special place in my heart. A lot of it is to do with those, because I think quite a few of them are early season ones, like seasons 1 to 5.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, the mythology was better back then. And also, you know, I was watching these episodes as they were airing, and those were always like big events, because those were always during like sweeps month, sweeps week, our season finale, season premieres. And so they always felt like really amazing moments. And so I have like great memories of the first time each of those episodes aired, because they were such a big deal.
That's cool.
And so that's why they're special to me, I think.
Well, that's interesting. I
love them.
I like that it's such a different, I think it's such a different batch. And just for the record, we had 9 that shared. So
how perfect is that? Because
it's literally right in the middle of
you guessed 7 and I guessed 11.
Yeah.
And so we're both right.
Yep. Yep. I love that.
We tie.
We tie.
And I'm going to throw one more statistic out there. Uh-huh. I did this one myself today. I counted how many of my top 25 include scenes where either Mulder or Scully are in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear this.
And would you like to make a wild guess off the top of your head? I mean, you already know what the episodes are.
Which, how many have a scene where they're in the hospital?
One or the other.
Or one of the,
Actually 15. In the bed, admitted to the hospital.
15.
Oh, 9. It wasn't even that many.
Oh, okay. I was just throwing out a wild number.
No.
But still.
9.
Wow. I wonder how many exist.
And I didn't even include Dead Alive, which has a great hospital scene in too, and Mulder comes back. So
that's one of my favorites.
Which is one of my favorite hospital scenes.
Yeah.
But didn't quite make it onto my top 25. But when I started putting my list together, and as I was watching a lot of the episodes this week, I started to realize there really is like certain aspects that are common across a lot of my favorites. And that is like hospital scenes, a lot of episodes with CSM in them. Even though I know he's not everyone's favorite anymore. But in the early seasons, he was really quite fantastic as a character. And quite a few with Maggie Scully managed to make it onto my list in a few places. And, of course, angst aplenty is the most common theme probably throughout. So, and a lot with the Lone Gunman. It seems like every episode with the Lone Gunman showed up on my list practically.
That's cool.
Which I wouldn't have realized, but I just found myself seeing a lot of Lone Gunman scenes this week. So I thought, I obviously like those guys quite a lot, and I do.
Oh, well, we all love the Lone Gunman.
Yes, we do. So hooray for us that we came up with our top 25.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. It was fun, though, and I'm happy with my list. I'm curious, like I said, like in the end, after we went everything, like I would probably somehow put Fight the Future on there if I could, and I would probably put Irresistible on there somewhere if I could.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I think the biggest thing for me is that I would just reorder everything. I mean, my top three wouldn't change. My top three would still be Requiem, Memento Mori, and Pusher, but they could change within themselves in order. But beyond that, honestly, I feel like number five could change places with number 15 pretty easily, and I'd still be okay with it because I love all of these episodes. There's not like one that I think, yeah, that one barely made it on the list. No, I love them all. They're all like dear to me.
That's cool.
It would be very hard. If I were to like look at this list again next week, I'd come up with a totally different order probably.
That's how it works.
But, you know, like I said, it's a great week rewatching a lot of these episodes. I didn't watch them all, but I might still yet watch the ones that I didn't get to because they're always a delight. They're just great episodes, and you can never watch them enough.
It sounds like a fun task to just sit down and watch all 25 of your favorites.
I know a couple of folks have been, you know, working on lists of top 25s lately. I know that it's been a challenging task for a couple of folks on Twitter having to go at it, but you know, it's not an impossible task.
No.
You just have to accept that you will leave off episodes that you love.
And we all know that we all love all the episodes, most of them.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, most of them. So once you accept that you're not going to be able to include all of your favorites, then you just have to go with your heart. That's what I say. Because these, to me, are not necessarily, I'm not going to call these the best episodes.
Right. Well, that's not what this list is. So.
But they're my favorite episodes. So in the end, I just had to go with my heart and let my heart decide. And it's like, there's no arguing with my heart.
No.
That makes it a lot easier. So just, you know, don't overthink it would be what I would suggest to anyone that wants to try to grapple with this and come up with their own list. So,
and I think you should out there, if you have a top 25 list, I know that's probably going to take several tweets, but you can tweet at us or you can email us xfilesdiaries@gmail.com or I am on Twitter @xfilesdiaries. And Jen, what's your Twitter?
I am @GenXPhile. That's JenXPhile. I'd love to hear what you guys think about our top 25.
Yeah.
And like, are you really mad at me about the bad blood thing? Because I feel like you could be. It's okay if you are. Bring it on. I can handle it.
I think, honestly, we're probably going to get more people coming out of the woodwork admitting that they agree with you. That's what I predict is going to happen.
All right. That'll be interesting. And, you know, we've probably left some episodes off that are someone's favorites. So by all means, berate us about that as well.
We do like being berated. It's one of our favorite things.
We absolutely do. I mean, that's why we're on X-Files Twitter. It's basically because we enjoy having a good talk about differences of opinion, differences of perspective. And doing that in kind of a fun, respectful way. And that's what it's all about.
Well, thanks you guys for listening. And we will be back with you in a couple weeks with another episode. And in the meantime, please hit us up on Twitter. And yeah, thanks for listening to X-Files Diaries.
Thanks.